Are you tired of spending your time comfortable with the uncomfortable? Ready to finally step out and find your joy, your passion, and start really living? Then welcome to the Pro Growth Podcast. My name is Dan, and my goal is to connect with and inspire others to help you find the direction you should go. Welcome back to another episode of the Pro Growth Podcast. You know, we always like to keep you on your toes. We like to change things up, and due to some scheduling conflicts, I am not joined by my fabulous co-host, Elizabeth, today. And so I hope you'll send your well wishes to her and tell her you miss her so that she'll join us again for the next episode. She'll be here. I'm just giving her a hard time. But hey, today I'm going to just jump right into some content. I've got a great guest with me, and I'm looking forward to this conversation. But before I do that, I just want to ask you to take a moment to leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening to your podcast. And the best way you can support us is by sharing this podcast with someone in your life. So we are grateful for those of you that do that on a consistent basis. And we always look forward to your feedback or questions. So with that said, let me introduce my guest. Today, I'm joined by Richard Kaufman. Richard is no stranger to some of the struggles experienced by veterans that have served in the military. Richard is an Army veteran. He's struggled with substance abuse, addiction, traumatic brain injury, and post-traumatic stress disorder. Recently, Rich celebrated 33 years of sobriety. And man, I just want to stop right there as I read this bio and say that is such a huge accomplishment in anybody's life. And I'd love to hear more about that, so we'll get there in just a second. But having come back from drug addiction, alcoholism, and homelessness, he now helps people struggling with depression or any other health, fitness, or addiction-related issues. Recently, he suffered a minor setback with his sight and became partially blind. He didn't let that situation slow him down one bit as he dedicated himself to other ventures. In the community, Rich is known as the Comeback Coach. Rich is also the author of the book, A Hero's Journey from Darkness to Light. He's also the host of the 8th most listened to veteran podcast online, Success Your Why, Powers Your How. There he interviews a myriad of guests ranging from business leaders, veterpreneurs, and other prominent figures to talk about their unique journey and struggles. He is pushing Today I Decide campaign, a campaign focused on assisting people with mental health struggles. Rich is married to his lovely wife Michelle, and has 3 children, Sean, 18, Liam, 16, and Linda Lee, 8. He resides in North Arlington, New Jersey. Richard, thanks so much for your service to our country and your continued service to others, and welcome to the Pro Growth Podcast, my friend.
Wow, thank you so much. That bio sounds like somebody that's important. It doesn't even sound like
Yeah, I get that feeling when people share my bio. It's like, wait a minute, who are we talking about? Sometimes I'd really have to think about it, right? But you know, I think it's a great testament to the impact that I know that you're having. You know, we've run across each other in the veteran circles quite a few times, and you know, we've joined some powerful conversations or discussions. I've joined you rather on Clubhouse and in some common Facebook groups that we share. And it's always profound to see the impact that you're having on people. So don't doubt one word of it, my friend.
Well, I appreciate it. You know, I'm just trying to pay it forward. And then a lot of people say, you know, you've done this and you've done that. And I just tell them, listen, I'm just a junkie that got lucky. And now I'm just trying to pay it forward.
Well, first of all, I love your passion to serve other people. And I'll tell you, I mean, you and I can probably sit here and discuss all day the need for that level of support and serving others through mental health concerns and addiction coming from the veteran community alone. So, you know, what you're doing, I believe to be extremely powerful and something that is desperately needed by so many people. So I appreciate your heart for serving others, and that's probably why we're sitting here having a conversation today, because that aligns with my mission and my passion and drive so well. I don't focus on the mental health concerns or addiction concerns or some of those other pieces. But, you know, when they come up, I'm certainly not going to back away, but I just see them all the time. And where you're serving is a powerful place to be that's much needed. So talk to me, if you don't mind. Let's just get some history in here, because you've spent a lot of time doing a lot of things that have led you to where you are. And a lot of it comes from your own struggles, right?
Yeah. Well, I grew up very poor. Mom was an addict. Thank God she's clean now. She got clean about 5 years after I did. So mom's got 27 years clean. We moved because my father hauled ass when I was 3 months old. So we moved around a lot. And I went to like 14 different schools before high school. And I had my first drink at 12 on New Year's Eve. And by 13, I was a full-blown alcoholic. And I joined the military. I'd give you a quick down and dirty. I joined the military at 17, stayed for 2 years. You've been in the military and all that. So I had, in total, 6 Article 15s, 2 field grades. And eventually, Uncle Sam decided he didn't want me as a nephew anymore, and he booted my ass out for being an addict and alcoholic. Yeah. So I got back in the military and continued getting in trouble, and I was due to be thrown out at the end of September of 2001. But the events on Tuesday, September 11th, changed the whole trajectory of my life and my career. And thank God, my company commander kept me. And within 4 years, I became Soldier of the Year. I became a non-commissioned officer. And I ended up doing 23 years between National Guard and Army and regular active duty. And then I got hurt on active duty, which I know you guys can't see this, but you guys can't see me and I can't see you because I'm 80% blind. And as you know, the military, if you can't see, you can't shoot. So we don't need you. And they medically retired me out on Memorial Day, 2012. And I got into such a deep depression. That was the day that I attempted suicide. Mm. And thank God I didn't go through with it. And then after that, that's when I just decided to start helping others that have gone through the same struggles as I am. So that's a deep, you know, quick down and dirty on me.
Yeah. Well, and that's, I wouldn't say too quick. It was only because it was so deep and powerful right there. You know, you just shared so much, and we could spend all day talking about, I think, each component of that story. But really quickly, for those who aren't aware, the Article 15 and the field grade, those are all actions under the Uniform Code of Military Justice, which are the governing laws of the military, so to speak. And the articles and field grade is a level of punishment under those articles. Those articles are the legal proceedings that occur when punishment is considered or issued by a commanding officer. And the level is determined by the level of command that is issuing that punishment. So just a quick educational piece there. So Rich, man, I don't even know where to start. Let's back up for a minute. You had some ups and downs in the first portion of your military journey. What do you attribute to the change that took place that allowed you to continue to serve and serve well? You mentioned being a Soldier of the Year, I think you said?
Yep, Soldier of the Year, and then became a non-commissioned officer. Well, what happened was, like, just a little backdrop, where I'm sitting now, I'm actually overlooking where the Twin Towers once stood. And we live 2 miles away from the Twin Towers. So that day, we actually knew people that were in the towers that didn't come home that day.
Yeah.
And something broke in me and I became a broken man, and I actually crumbled into my chair and I asked the Lord, I said, you know, Lord, give me another chance to maybe help people that can't help themselves. And thank God he did. And, you know, thank God that they, you know, they kept me. But again, I got busted down from E4 to E1 again. So I had to start over again. Mm. But when I went to drill that next weekend, it was different. I sat back and I watched, and I decided to start doing what the winners did. So instead of hanging out with E1s and E2s, I would follow the E6s, E7s, captains and lieutenants around like a little puppy dog and learn what they did. So I decided to start sticking with the winners. And I think that's when things started to change.
Absolutely. I mean, I do believe, excuse me, I do believe that we are the average of the five people we spend the most time with. We have the ability to influence our circumstances and our own situations, our own outcomes. We can't change the people around us, but we can change who the people around us are. And that directly influences our outcomes. You know, where do you want to go? Where do you want to be? And that right there is a lesson for anybody that's wanting to grow in business, right? If you find yourself in a place where, you know, the same things seem to be occurring over and over, you know, how can you expand your circles and start looking at people at the next level of influence? How do you start associating with them? And in some discussions recently, one of the pieces, I guess, that stands out is the how-to in that associating with other people. And when it comes to business, right, one of the easiest ways to start associating with other people is to simply engage with their content on social media. That's an easy place to start. And then, you know, consider purchasing a product. Ray Edwards is a mentor of mine. I'm in a mastermind with him. Had a live free webinar yesterday. It was pretty good, talking about the current circumstances and how people can shift their focus slightly and add to their current business income. But what really stood out is when he shared that, you know, that's one of the practices that he's used. He has paid thousands of dollars to be associated with someone to get on their radar, because I can guarantee, and Rich, correct me if you think I'm wrong, but if I started paying you, let's say, I don't know how many followers you have or how many people you have on your mailing list, but let's just go with, you have 1,000 people in your audience right now that you know are existent and engaged with your stuff. Those people who are paying you, do you pay more attention to them?
Of course. And, you know, also like for people when they come on my show, as I tell everybody, which of course, oh, by the way, I'm asking you to come on my show. So I'm putting this out now. I actually start building relationships with that person after the show airs. And yeah. I start building, because I want to build a generational relationship. So for me, it's all about, you know, building relationships. Like a year ago, I asked a gentleman to be a part of his mastermind. He has one of the blue check marks. And it was like, I forget how much, thousands a year. But now that I had him on my show, we've built a relationship. Now I could just text him if I have any questions. So a lot of times, you might, if you start your own podcast, just so you can have these people on, and then they can be in your inner circle without having to pay all that money to become part of a mastermind.
Yeah, absolutely. I have a few resources up my sleeve that I've built similar relationships with, and most of them have never been on this podcast, and I've not been on theirs, but certainly strategically placing myself in their purview so that I can build a relationship with them, establish rapport. And I don't know where that's going to lead, but I want to be on their radar. And, you know, if there's an opportunity to serve them, and when I say that, you know, they're in a position of authority in this particular case, right? I look up to the work that they're doing. So if there's an opportunity for me to engage with something that they're offering, maybe it's a live event, or, you know, maybe it's a free workshop, then I'll do my best to support those, because again, people who are paying me money certainly command a bit more of my attention than the people who are hanging out in the shadows. They might engage a little bit, but they've never purchased anything from me. Now, that's not to say I don't work hard to serve everyone in my audience to the best of my ability, but those people that are paying me, I certainly am going to make sure I'm paying attention to as well. So that's just a, you know, that's just a practical step for people looking to shift who they're associating with. You know, just start engaging with their social media content. And for me, like, I follow Rich Litvin, who is a tremendous, impactful coach. And I just consume as much of his content as I'm able to without, you know, going to sleep, because it's just, at the end of the day, I'm tired, right? I do as much as I can, and then I continue to pursue that. And I do engage with, he's got a private group on Facebook I engage with. Things like that are how I shift my sphere of influence, or those who have influence over me at the very least.
Yeah. I do the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So, okay. So when you shifted direction, you got busted to E1 and you gave up everything you had to God's will and said, I just give me one more chance, right? Yeah. That's when the beginning of your sobriety took place. Is that?
No, I was sober. I'll put it this way. Okay. I was dry. And I'll explain the difference. I was dry from January 1st, 1988 or 89 until September 11th, 2001. And then I was sober from 2001 until now. And the difference is, a person that's dry is somebody that don't drink, but they're mm-hmm. still an asshole.
Yeah, they're not changing behaviors.
You know, and being sober is a person that no longer drinks and no longer tries to be that asshole and puts others before themselves. So that's how I, you know, how I say that, from dry to sober, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a great explanation. It's the behaviors that don't change. You know, the drinking or the drugs stop, but the behaviors are still there. And probably the circle of influence is the same. I think you indicated that when you were talking about you chose to stop spending time with the people who weren't pouring into your future. So,
well, you know, I always think of it like, you know, if you're a quarterback in the NFL, if you're always just following all the other second and third string quarterbacks, you're only going to be a second and third string quarterback, unless you really start finding out what that first string quarterback is doing and being in all the meetings and doing everything that he does. So I just took that approach.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's exactly a great way to put it. Okay. So, all right. Now, you had some things happen between where you're at right now and your military career. You got involved with GNC, correct?
Yep. As far as, you know, I've always had a job either at a GNC or a vitamin shop or the gym. I've always been fascinated with bodybuilding and fitness. So I've been was in the fitness industry from 86 all the way till last year. And at the last 10 years, I actually ran a multi-million dollar general nutrition center. We took it from 400,000 to 1.4 million in 3 years.
Hmm. Wow, that's a pretty fast turn for so much growth. What would you say attributed to your being able to grow that store or that center the way you did?
For me, like we talked about earlier, was building relationships. You know, I forget who made the quote, but, you know, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And anytime somebody came in the store, and I can't remember people's names for nothing, but I can always remember their story that they tell me. So whenever somebody comes in and, you know, I may not have seen them for 4, 5, 6 months, but I remember the last time we talked, their baby was about to be born. So I would always want to get to know how's the baby doing now. So it was building those real relationships that I think pushed us towards greatness, because, you know, we really cared. It wasn't just about making a dollar. And I actually turned down sometimes 40% of my sales a day for people that didn't need stuff. And that kind of shocked people, but it built up that whole trust.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much to be said about, well, you just called it the relationship side of things, right? Building trust with people and especially when we examine coaching. And I know, you know, as a coach, you know quite a bit about this as well. It's those relationships are the cornerstone of our business as coaches. If without those, we have nothing, right? People need to be willing to believe that you're going to, one, be able to help them. And I'll tell them up front, I don't know if I have all the answers, but let's sit down and see what we can work out together. You know, it's about helping you uncover these things versus me having the answers. So there has to be a level of trust that they have in you in order to be willing to do the deep work and to share the intimate details of their lives with you, especially when it comes to battles with addiction or relationships. Yeah. You know, that's a scary place for a lot of people. And unfortunately, that's why it ends so poorly for so many people, is they're scared. They don't feel like they have trust with anyone that they can share with and get the help that they're looking for. This veteran-centric thing has me going, but if we look at the veteran community, right, I think the numbers are still around 22 a day for suicides or suicide completions. So,
yep, and unfortunately, you know, they say the number 22, we hear that a lot, but the actual number, 35 first responders, include 22 veterans, 2 active duty soldiers, commit suicide every day, and that's with only 50% of the states reporting suicides.
Right, right. That's one is too many, right? Yeah. And I think the biggest challenge, this is where I was going with that. I think the biggest challenge is when people are looking for help, it's too hard to find, at least in their perception.
Yeah.
Right? Because there are people like you and I, and I know so many other veterans that if you were to call me, man, I would do everything I could to provide whatever it is I could to serve you and help guide you through that, even if it's just helping you get to the right resources. Because it's almost like, I would love to hear your perspective on this, as you've been there, you've been right in that seat, as you shared earlier. It's, to me, it seems like it's almost like they have blinders on and they just can't recognize that the help is right there. Because it's just such a dark place. Is that, talk to me about your experience, man.
Well, for me, like, guys, I'm not a professional at all. I'm a guy that only has a 9th grade education. You know, but I've interviewed now over 350 different people. And what I've learned, and I was talking to a psychologist about this last night, that when an adult acts out, it's usually because of trauma that happened between the ages of 3 and 13. Then you add, most of the time, not all the time, you add alcohol to the mix. Mm. And then you add military to the mix. It becomes a perfect storm. And nobody tells you how to get out of the perfect storm unless somebody's already been there and reaches down to help pull you out. So I think that's where somebody like myself, you know, somebody can reach out to me and I'll be able to talk to them because they know I've been there. Been there, done that. And that whatever they say, you know, there's people in the tribe that we all know that I've talked to that have gone through some deep stuff that will never pass my lips.
Absolutely. Because,
you know, it's all about that, like you said, that trust. And I, you know, like Sergeant Nick in our group talks about, you know, when you step off base, the military does not give a shit about you. Your phone stops ringing, you know. So not only do you lose your career, you lose your mission, you lose, you know, anything that you had going on. Now you're all alone and you have nobody to talk to. And I think that's where a lot of people, a lot of veterans stress out because they don't know where to turn and they don't know who to trust. You know,
I've shared about that before, right? That's been my experience too, you know, at least from my perception. And I want to point that out, and then I want to get your opinion as well, or at least your advice. But so that's what I found, right? When I retired, I medically retired also. And by the way, I never finished high school. And I want to just tell people that that doesn't matter, because clearly you're experiencing success. I'm experiencing success. It's a matter of how do you utilize the life lessons, right? The non-traditional education. If you don't have a college degree, it's okay. If you don't finish high school and you're worried that that's going to interfere with your ability for people to see you as successful, let me just tell you that no one's ever asked me for a coaching certification. No one's ever asked me when I'm coaching them, hey, did you finish high school? In fact, I only recently shared that publicly with Dan Miller during a preview we were doing for an upcoming seminar. There was a group of facilitators, and we were all giving perspectives on what was beneficial to us. And one of the things that stands out to me in that program is looking at all of your education, not just formal, and looking at then how can I apply these skills, resources, lessons learned into something that will enable me to move into work that I feel good in. And so I just wanted to pause and state that. But getting back on track, you know, so I didn't finish high school. I talked about that. I lost my train of thought. Help me out. Where were we going?
We're just talking about your transitioning story.
Yeah. So thank you, man. And I don't edit these. So it is what it is. There you go. That's real world. We get stuck sometimes. But yeah, so when I transitioned from the military, medically retired in 2018, and that's the first thing. As I looked at becoming an entrepreneur, right, I started off in the world of marketing. And before that, I'd started off in financial coaching. But I was looking to transition into the world of marketing. Two reasons. One is I didn't know how to market myself as a financial coach. And then I found a fascination with this thing called marketing and just clicked with me. So I started pursuing that. I noticed right away I had no community to pull from, and I never felt like I could just reach back out to that military community I knew well, because the two just didn't blend, right? I'm in the marketing world, and surely they can't contribute to my success from that perspective. However, here's what I was going to suggest, is that I failed to realize that even though I transitioned completely away from what I knew and the community I was a part of for so long, I neglected the relationship aspects. I had built relationships over those years that, had I been in a place where I was really, truly struggling with human connection, I could have easily picked up the phone and reached out to any one of them. And I ignored that fact as I considered how hard it was. And as I looked at how do I build a community and start over, I don't believe we have to completely start over. Those relationships have value, even if it doesn't pertain to the business you're trying to pursue or the leadership position you're in now, right? There's still a connection to be made there. And that's the part I wanted to ask your advice on, Rich, is, you know, what do you tell people when they're transitioning and they're facing that seemingly closed off space where they feel alone? Because I don't believe that they're truly alone. It's just a matter of how we're looking at it at the moment.
Well, for me, you know, like after my suicide attempt, and after I went to go get help, I've been in therapy, seeing the same therapist for the last 11 years now. I started reading self-help books, and I started hearing this name, Gary Vaynerchuk, coming up. So one day I decided, because I knew his father has a liquor store about 20 minutes from my house. So I called him and asked if he's going to be there. And I went there and had lunch with Gary Vaynerchuk, and he set me on my path to what I'm doing now. So sometimes you just have to figure out, okay, this is where I was, you know, okay, I'm no longer Sergeant Kaufman. Where do I want to go? And then I had to start going places where those people were. So sometimes you just have to totally, you know, step out of where you were and start going to where you want to be. And I think that's the hardest thing for people to do, is just to realize, okay, I'm not in the military anymore. Now I have to recreate myself. And then you have to figure out, well, where do I want to go? And once you figure out, that's why, you know, the three worst, most important words in English language are "today I decide." Because once you make a decision, then all you have to do is act upon it. But I think that's something a person needs to do. And I tell them that all the time. Well, where do you want to go from here? Well, I don't know. Well, then you're never going to get there. So you got to figure it out where you want to go before you make any steps.
Well, and yes, and I'm a huge fan of pulling that out of people as well. Because I mean, I know it's a struggle to know the answer right now, right? But you've got to develop a path, you know, a goal. And you identify those goals. And here's the great thing about it is in the next few weeks after establishing that goal, if you realize through a series of interactions that maybe that's not the goal you really wanted to pursue, it's okay to change it, right? You're a coach right now. But if you decided tomorrow that coaching isn't where your heart was, you could change it.
Yeah.
You could start shifting to something different. You just change what the end looks like at that point. And it's okay to do that. Start somewhere. And man, you said it, take action. Taking action is, that's a quote that I have shifted slightly. You know, we've often heard the quote that says, everything you could ever want is on the other side of fear. I challenge that to say that fear is much bigger when you look at it. Like, that's what I have to tackle. I think you can start by saying, everything I could ever want is on the other side of action. Taking action is the number one thing that's going to change your situation, your circumstances, and improve your life. So now that's pretty powerful.
I tell people, if you don't write down your goals, you know, they had a statistic that 88% of people that wrote their goals down physically actually hit their goals. So if you're not writing your goals down, it's just a dream. It's not a goal.
That's right.
So just make sure you're writing, you know, like for me, I'm transitioning from coaching to public speaking and being the number one veteran-owned podcast in the world. That's my goal now. And I know Jocko's at the number one spot, but I want Jocko to know I'm coming.
Jocko Willink, yes, man. No, that's a great goal, and I support you however I can. And I mean, that's exactly the point we were making, is you started off in this, well, you didn't start off in coaching, but you became a coach, and you focused a lot of time and energy on that. Yeah. And now you've changed the goal, and the outcomes are going to change. So, yeah, deciding where you're trying to go doesn't matter if you have all the answers today. You just decide, write it down, pursue it with vigor, take massive action, and you know that's how you get to the next level. That's how you find out that's not where you're meant to be, and what's the next step look like, right? You can't find out unless you start.
I think, you know, like the average CEO reads 60 books a year, the average of the top CEOs in the world. So like, even though I got, you know, I'm on my 360th episode, I'm still taking courses on how to be a better podcaster. So if you're not learning every single day, if you're not, you know, pushing yourself every day, you're never going to hit your goals. If you decide, well, I'm good enough, well, you're never going to be good enough.
That's right. That's right. And I support that wholly. You can't see it really, but I know others have. I've got quite a few books behind me, and that's not all of them. And I continue to pick up new ones. Every time somebody makes a great recommendation, I'll go out and get it, and I'll start to just continue to learn. I have a coach. I'm part of a mastermind community. I have a mastermind community. You know, I'm doing things specifically and strategically to contribute to my personal and professional development continuously. You know, that is coaching. You know, I can't expect people to pay me for things that I'm not willing to invest in myself either. That's the other piece. So wonderful. I could spend all day talking about some of these topics that we're breaching here, but talk to me a little bit about what led you to coaching and kind of how that shaped for you. And then you already mentioned kind of the direction you're headed. So if you want to talk a little bit about that as well, I'd love to hear more.
Well, what happened? I was, you know, like I said, I was in the health and fitness industry for many years, and I built relationships. And, you know, so eventually I would make friends with guys from the NFL, WWE, NBA, Major League Baseball, and they would come in and talk about supplements and how I can coach them to get healthy, especially after injuries. And I was working at Caesar's Palace, and I got the opportunity to run Lennox Lewis's training camp for three of his fights when he was heavyweight champion of the world. And that's how I started, you know, I started listening to what Emmanuel Stewart was teaching him. So I've always been that guy. I always listen twice as much as I speak. So, you know, eventually people just started asking me, hey, coach, you know, how can I help you out? So that's when I got, you know, certified as a personal trainer and stuff like that. And that's how the coaching thing started. And it was mostly just out of passion for helping other people. Now, I love to see other people succeed. And so that's where the whole coaching thing started. And then the way the whole comeback coach thing started, I was on a friend of mine, Donnie Boyven, his podcast. And we were talking about, you know, what I was doing at the time, running a $1 million store, blah, blah, blah. And I started telling him my backstory. And I kept trying to talk about the front story, but he kept going back. And he said, you know what? He's like, after everything you've been through, you know, you need to talk about that more, because there's millions of health and fitness guys out there, but you're the guy that's come back and you're coaching other people to help come back. So that's how the whole comeback coach thing started. So I got to give a shout out to Donnie Boyven.
No, that's great, man. I love hearing that. And it's just, man, it's exciting. So, all right. And as the comeback coach, your focus is on the addiction and the non-professional side of working with people through mental health concerns, right?
Well, not that. I mean, but then, like we were talking about, my mindset shifted to where, you know, now on my podcast, you know, I have sometimes 7, 8, 9-figure earners, General Reyes, you know, and a lot of people that are dealing with mindset. So that's, and I'm starting to shift into helping people in their businesses be resilient and how to build real relationships, because, you know, relationships is where the money's at. And and I actually help people to tell their stories, because, you know, a lot of people will put out a blog post and they'll tell you nothing but facts will tell, but stories will always sell. So that's where I started to, you know, help different businesses build relationships and actually become better storytellers.
And super powerful. You know, I come from, my experience with marketing was as a Story Brand certified guide, which I'm no longer, but, you know, that's kind of where I started out. And I know that the impact that leveraging even just small parts of story have in building not just business, but relationships, right? When you can have a powerful conversation with someone, being able to relate to them with story is wildly important, because that's how our brains are wired to perceive and respond and process the information around us. So when you can lead with, you know, stories that connect with the people you're looking to serve, it's a powerful component to add to any business or just any relationship. And I, having been a master resiliency trainer in the Army, I love that you brought up that resiliency piece in how it ties into building relationships and strengthening relationships, because I've seen that in action as well. And, you know, I think I owe a testament to UPenn for creating that program for the Army. I don't care who paid for it or how it came about. I care that those programs are truly having an impact, and it's all based on real world data using positive psychology to improve people's lives and make, you know, I wouldn't go as far as saying force, but make people realize the change that they can bring about in their own lives. So,
and especially as you know, because especially with COVID, you know, we have really resilient in business. And a lot of people think, you know, that, well, my business failed. And I teach them, you know, that failure is an event. It's not a person. So you can come back from whatever failure you had. You can, like my mentor, Ed Milet, always tells me, he says, you know, things happen for you. They don't happen to you. And everything is a teachable moment. So if you fail business, you're no doubt going to be successful in your next business, because you know what didn't work the last time.
And yeah. I have a hard time with the term failure, right? Because I think it is all about how you perceive that as well. You know, I could easily look back and look at all of the things I might have failed at, but I'd much rather look at what lessons did I learn? Yeah. And that ties back to just bringing about an overall positive experience for me, because if I can just look at, okay, these are lessons I've learned, that's a win. You know, no matter how you look at it, if I can learn something from it, it's still a win, not a failure.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, like Michael Jordan said, he said, the only reason I became successful is because I missed 900 shots.
Yeah.
That's how I became successful. So, well, you know, you got to take what it's worth.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, and was it Einstein that supposedly they interviewed, right? And the numbers change depending on where you see it, but you know, they asked him the question, how did it feel to fail, you know, 10,000 times in creating? And he said, well, I didn't. There was just 10,000 steps towards getting to success.
Yeah. Well, look at Abraham Lincoln. I mean, he failed so many times before he became president, and he had a nervous breakdown. So who would ever thought he'd become president after all the failures and having a nervous breakdown? But he did. So, you know, don't quit before the miracle happens.
Oh, man. You know, Theodore Roosevelt, same story, right? He battled severe asthma as a child. And instead of succumbing to that as a circumstance he was born into, he chose to battle it. He chose to overcome it. And, you know, he ended up doing some amazing things. Like, you know, he got extremely ill and survived in an unknown tributary in the Amazon River. Yeah, just some amazing stories that come back from the book. I read that book. It's called The River of Doubt. I'll make sure to put a link in the show notes, because that was just a powerful testimony to what you just indicated. You know, Abraham Lincoln had to overcome physical ailments and people who doubted him from the beginning. And he could have been looked at as a failure in multiple places, but ultimately he didn't let that stop him. And that's what you're talking about. So I am assuming, Rich, that this is the kind of things that you're leading from the front with, so to speak. That's a military term, but leading from the front with as you move into more speaking engagements. Are these the types of topics that you're bringing to the table?
Yep. And the reason why I have the shirt on, it's called Today I Decide. We threw our own mental health summit last April called Today I Decide. It was a free mental health summit for veterans and first responders.
Yeah.
And different speakers. So for me, it's just all about paying it forward. You know, and I love getting stories. Like, I had a gentleman reach out to me about a year ago, because I do a Facebook Live every Monday night called the Monday Night Comeback. Mm-hmm. And he messaged me while the show was going on that he had his weapon in his mouth ready to pull the trigger, and something I said triggered him. And he, you know, took the gun out of his mouth, was about to call 911 to get some help. So for me, it's all about legacy, and it's all about changing the world. Even if it's just one person, if I could change one person in the world, that means I literally changed the whole world. It's that butterfly effect. Yeah. And you know, my goal is just to, you know, change as many lives as I can while I'm still here.
Dude, so, you know, this is, I don't care what anybody thinks about this conversation at this point, because that's something that just hit home with me completely. You know, if you look on my website, if I think it's on the mastermind page, it doesn't really matter. Part of my mission is this mantra of helping more people better. And I've talked about it on the show before. Helping more people better to me isn't a numerical thing. You know, it could easily be translated as, I just want to help more people so that I can profit. Well, it's not even close to true, because for me, it's having a positive influence in the life of one other person around me then impacts them in a way that they're able to have a positive influence on someone, if not many people around them. And I think that's how we spread kindness. That's how we change the world from a positive perspective. And that's how we ultimately, that's how we, you know, reach the people that need help.
Yeah.
And so I love that you just shared that. And so that's the Today I Decide campaign that we're talking about. And what a powerful mission. I encourage people to go check out those hashtags and see the work that has been done. What's the future of this campaign, Rich, and how can people get engaged or support?
Well, you know, one of the reasons why I do this, like I interviewed a gentleman last night on my podcast. It's not going to go out for a while, but he deals with adolescent addiction. And a lot of people don't realize that on average, 5,000 children a day between the ages of 8 and 18 attempt suicide every day. And 73,000 people a year overdose on opioids.
Wow.
So those are numbers that, you know, that's what keeps me going to be able to hopefully one day have a Today I Decide program in schools, in church, you know, going to having events. Like I had a chance to go, it was a blessing. I had a chance to go to Madison Square Garden and talk about maybe having an event there. And I actually got two free throws on the New York Knicks while there's nobody in the garden. So that was pretty interesting. But, you know, that's my goal, is to be able to inspire people to realize, you know, you don't have to be the same person tonight when you go to bed as when you woke up this morning. You can change, and all you have to do is make that decision to change.
That's perfect. And I absolutely concur. You know, in the military, I was also a sexual assault victim advocate. And I prefer to call it a survivor advocate, but that's just a personal preference. And I hope to see a movement in that space in the military at some point, but it is an effective program when people can utilize it effectively. So, and I say that only to say that, you know, that's the one thing that stood out to me is, again, the ability to positively impact someone's life who has been through struggles that I can't even fathom. You know, being there as a resource for them allowed me to change their perspective on what's ahead for them, or help them change their perspective on what's ahead for them. And that's just a powerful experience. And I agree with you. That's how you change people's lives overall. That's how they impact others around them. But the one point or takeaway from that program that I really found impactful was there's no such thing as an innocent bystander. You either are choosing to not engage with something, so you're choosing one circumstance, or you're choosing to engage with something to be a positive influence. And either way, you have just made a choice.
You know, and I just did an episode on military sexual trauma. Last year, 20,000 people were sexually assaulted in military, and 7,500 of them were men. So yes. It's not a female and a male thing. If anybody's listening, it's not. So if you're struggling with that, please reach out and get help. You're not alone.
And that's those who chose to report, whether it was disclosed or undisclosed, right? Yeah. So that's a scary statistic when you think about that fact right there, that there's still people who have not chosen to come forth and get help. Yeah. Or to say something so that, you know, whatever resources become available to them without punitive results. So no, I appreciate you sharing all of that. So we're coming up on our end of time, but we didn't even get to really talk about your podcast much or any of the other work you're doing. But do you mind sharing how you would suggest people find out more about the work and all the initiatives you have going on?
Well, you can always check out my podcast. It's called Vertical Momentum. But like Mr. Gary Vaynerchuk taught me, I told him, I said, Gary, before I leave here, you're going to give me something that I can use right now today. And he said, well, make yourself a hashtag. So if anybody wants to find about anything I'm doing, hashtag the comeback coach, it'll come up on every single thing that I do.
That's how I find you when I'm looking for you.
Yep. So, you know, and it's free. It's a hashtag and it's free. So if you guys are in business, maybe make yourself a hashtag so you don't have to pay so much marketing.
Ah, I love it. I know I've created some, but I've kind of let them all trickle off, but that's neither here nor there. Yes, I have created a hashtag that's an easy way for some genuine marketing that creates some organic growth and allows people to easily find something you're working on. You know, if you include those, think about it. If we include those hashtags in our work, that's how people find, you know, based on topics or other areas of interest. So if they know you by hashtag, it's super easy to find the work you're doing. No, hey, I appreciate your time here today, Rich. And I'll just ask you, what parting advice would you have for people that might be struggling, or whether it's struggling with their mental health or other aspects of addiction and those pieces that we covered, or even just struggling to start and grow their businesses?
I've been in recovery now over 30 years. And from the beginning, they always said the heaviest thing to pick up sometimes is a telephone. Hmm. And to reach out for help is actually a strength. It's not a weakness. So if you're struggling today, pick up the phone, reach out to somebody. It's a strength and not a weakness.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And thank you for sharing that. Thank you for sharing your experiences with us, Rich. And we'll have to do this again. By the way, I did not miss what you said about inviting me to your podcast, and I'm more than happy to join you. So I appreciate you putting that out there and looking forward to that as well. But I feel like we've left so many, we just scratched the surface on a lot of the topics that you bring to the table. And I'd love to do this again in the near future, if you're open to that.
This is fun. I love doing this. I love, even if there's that one person out there that needs to hear this, then that's worth it.
Absolutely. I've shared that here before too. My friend, Dr. Fred Jones, it's probably one of the quotes I share the most. It keeps me on my toes, but the one reason I continue to show, there's many reasons, but one that stands out that I continue to show up and share my messages with people is because he said, if you're not doing the work to share your message, you're depriving somebody, one person potentially, of something that they desperately needed today. So here we are. Man, Rich, it's been a pleasure. Listen, for those of you who did listen and join along today, if you found this episode impactful, again, I just ask that you share it with somebody in your world. That's the best way you could show support to us. As always, if you have questions or, you know, contributions, or you'd like to be considered to be a guest on our show, shoot me an email at support@danw.us. And as always, thank you for being here. Thank you for joining us. I hope you'll join us next time so that together we can continue to help more people better.